Chapter 3. The Challenge of Offense. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. One of the challenges of the end time that Jesus warned his disciples about is the challenge of offense. Jesus said, "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. In Luke chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus said, "It is impossible that no offenses should come." The word offense is an interesting word which comes from the Greek word skandalon, which means the trigger of a trap or a trap stick. The trap stick is a very small device that is cunningly used by hunters to trap animals. When an animal in search for food barely touches the trap stick, the trap flies and the animal is caught. It is very revealing that Jesus used the Greek word for trap stick in referring to offenses between Christian brethren. Offense is the trap stick, the primary device that Satan subtly uses in these closing days of time to trap and ensnare many believers. Offenses are the calculated and fabricated plan of Satan to cause division, bitterness, and resentment among God's people. Only once did the disciples of Jesus ask him to increase their faith, and it was not for the purpose of raising the dead, healing the sick, or casting out devils, but in order to overcome offenses. That should say a lot to us. Observe the following reference. "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 5. Furthermore, Jesus said, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. In the above quoted verse, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, the word used for love is agape, which means the self-sacrificing love of God. It is generally used in reference to believers. Therefore, when Jesus said the love of many shall grow cold, he described the condition not necessarily of the world only, but also of the church in these last days. The love of many professing Christians will grow cold because many will be offended for various reasons. Again, in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, when Jesus said, "It is impossible that no offenses should come," he inferred that it is impossible to go through life without experiencing offense. Once you are alive, you will be offended, one way or another, even by those that you may least suspect, which would make it even more painful to bear. Statistics prove that the closer the relationship, the greater the pain caused by offense. Some of the bitterest people on the planet are those who were the closest. For example, a divorced couple, a brother, or a very close friend. The closer the relationship, the more difficult the offense is to bear. David said, "Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." Psalm chapter 41, verse 9. "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng." Psalm chapter 55, verses 12 through 14. The pain caused by a breach in relationship with someone very close was so unbearable for David that he lamented, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." Psalm chapter 55, verses 6 through 8. Solomon said, "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle." Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. Indeed, the greater the relationship, the greater the offense, the greater the pain, and the greater the possibility for bitterness to develop and grow. A biblical case in point is Ishmael and Isaac. Even to this day, the offense and bitterness continue among their descendants, which are the Jews and Arabs. We also have the case of Jacob and Esau, David and Saul, David and Absalom. However, notwithstanding the cause and the pain, as Christians, we are clearly commanded to forgive. The way to overcome the challenge of offense is by resolving to forgive. The biblical command to forgive. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, You wicked servant! I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. During his time on earth, most of Jesus' teachings were communicated through parables. A parable is simply a parallel. It is a natural truth that parallels a heavenly or spiritual truth. In the above passage, Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, Jesus spoke a parable about a man who was forgiven by his master, but in return refused to forgive someone else as he had been forgiven. Consequently, when the master heard of his unforgiving attitude, he became furious, threw him into prison, and handed him over to the tormentors. Notice, in the beginning of this parable, Jesus said, Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. The expression, the kingdom of heaven is like, clearly indicates a parallel between the story of the parable and the kingdom of God. The point is, an offended and unforgiving attitude and the punishment it invited in the parable would be a reality in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, during the end times. Moreover, if Christians don't settle accounts among themselves, God will settle them slowly but surely in his own way. In the above parable, the word of God says, Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. Matthew chapter 18, verses 32 through 35 in the King James Version. The word tormentors in the King James Version indicates more than keepers of a prison. It refers to the torment inflicted on prisoners by stretching their limbs, pinching their flesh, putting out their eyes, and taking off the skin while alive. To withhold forgiveness is to open the door for the tormentors to come in. Satan and his emissaries, devils, seek for every opportunity to hinder your spiritual growth, your health, and finance. He seeks to oppress the child of God with negative thoughts. Satan seeks to keep the children of God going around in circles like Israel in the wilderness by getting their minds focused on offenses, on what others have said and done. Satan is pleased when a child of God focuses on problems instead of solutions, when one is reactive instead of proactive. His fundamental purpose is to torment lives both now and in eternity. Be warned. An offended and unforgiving spirit is a warm welcome to him. Don't give Satan the advantage. The body of Christ will not be perfected until Christ returns. Therefore, until that happens, we need wisdom and courage to get along with each other. The Word of God says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. Notice in verse 7, Peter said husbands must know how to dwell with their wives, that their prayers may not be hindered. In verse 8 and 9, Peter extends his exhortation beyond the boundary of marriage to the brotherhood of believers. He said, "All of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers." The point is, the way we deal with each other determines whether or not our prayer will be heard or hindered. If our prayers are hindered, Satan will have an advantage over us. When one holds on to offense and refuses to forgive, Satan gets the advantage. The Word of God makes this plain. "So that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. It is important for you to know how Satan works. If you don't know how he works, he will seize the advantage over you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Apostle Paul gave us some consoling words. He said, "For we are not ignorant of his devices." The implication is that, contrary to the belief of many, Satan does not possess many schemes. He possesses only a few. However, what he cleverly does is play a kind of mind game by using these same schemes or methods over and over again. He only dresses the same old schemes in new clothes. Therefore, they can be learned. One translation puts it this way: to avoid being outwitted by Satan, whose scheming we know only too well. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, in the New Jerusalem Bible. Very often, however, it is not ignorance, but ignoring Satan's devices, which causes many to get into trouble and to be taken advantage of. Once you discover the devices of Satan and avoid giving in to them, he cannot have any advantage over you. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know his devices, for the Bible reveals what they are. For example, Satan uses pride, an unforgiving spirit, unbelief, division, lust, greed, falsehood, etc. As long as you walk according to the principles of God's word, you are safe. The Word of God declares, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known." Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, in the King James Version. Dealing with roots. of bitterness. You cannot stop offense from coming. Jesus said, "It is impossible that no offense should come." Since you cannot stop it from coming, the crucial issue is how one deals with it when it comes. Praise God! Jesus also told us how to deal with it and avoid being bitter. The solution is simple. One must pursue reconciliation and forgive unconditionally. The Word of God says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 4. "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Mark chapter 11, verse 26. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison." Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 25. Notice that Jesus clearly says, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, is offended with you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gifts. Verse 23 through 24. There is something important that one needs to see here. In Matthew 18, chapter 23 through 35, quoted above, the issue is about one seeking forgiveness. The Bible says, "So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.'" Verse 29. However, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 25, now in discussion, it is a different situation. There is no one seeking forgiveness. Jesus simply says, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. In other words, if you are conscious that there is unfinished business between yourself and another person, you must settle business before you approach God in prayer. You may not be the offended one, nevertheless. If you are conscious of someone who is offended with you, then before God, you present your gift to God. You need to go to that person and seek to resolve things in a peaceful and amicable manner. Whatever one takes to the altar of God would not be accepted until you have done all in your power to make reconciliation with your brother. For God must accept you before he accepts your gift. Therefore, as much as is possible, you must seek reconciliation with your brother before God accepts you. Again, Jesus said, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Mark chapter 11, verse 25. This verse, Mark chapter 11, verse 25, describes a different situation than those dealt with above. It is not about someone seeking your forgiveness, neither is it about you being conscious of someone offended with you. In this situation, the emphasis is on you being offended with someone. Probably the person had done you something that caused you great pain, whether or not the person is conscious of what they have done. and whether or not the person repents. The clear counsel of Jesus is that you must forgive. In this context, Jesus did not give any condition on the part of the person who caused the offense. He simply said, "If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Therefore, when we add up all the above passages on forgiveness, Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, Matthew chapter 5, verses 22 through 25, and Mark chapter 11, verse 25, the revelation that surfaces is that at the end of the day, we should forgive unconditionally. Pursuing peace. Some may ask, what about a case in which someone is offended with me? And I go to the person to seek reconciliation, but that person remains offended and indifferent to my expressions of love. What do I do then? The answer is simple. You cannot be held accountable for another person's decision and behavior. However, going to the person for the sake of reconciliation should not be viewed as a one-time act. Right there is where many miss it. Some say, "I went to such and such a person already. Now I leave that one in the hands of God." However, we are commanded to pursue peace. There are many things in this life we go after and pursue continuously until we succeed. How much more peace with our brothers and sisters, which is very precious in the sight of God? Psalms chapter 34, verse 14 says, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." The word pursue comes from the Hebrew word radaf, meaning to follow after, to pursue ardently, to run after, to chase, to dog, to attend closely upon. The force of the Hebrew word is, you must not casually seek peace and inoffensiveness toward the brethren. You must seek it diligently as something of value in God's sight, so that if it seems to flee from you, you ought to pursue it. Press eagerly after it, not giving up the pursuit through impatience or resentment. It is said that consistency is the proof of sincerity. If our love for the brethren is sincere, it must be persistent. In God's sight, peace is precious. The word of God makes this plain. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Psalm chapter 133. Truly, the word of God says, "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city." Proverbs chapter 18. Verse 19. However, it did not say it is impossible. Sometimes the only way to pacify offense is by yielding and giving up your own rights. The word of God says, "If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses." Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 4, the King James Version. The New International Version puts it this way: "If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great errors to rest." Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 4, the New International Version. Satan knows that he cannot get many to commit the obvious and conspicuous sins. Therefore, his strategy is to cause many to be ensnared and to fall through the trapstick of offense. He seeks to turn pastors against pastors, pastors against members, members against pastors, brothers and sisters against each other, husbands and wives against each other, children against parents, etc. Therefore, we must arm ourselves with the attitude to pursue peace. The Bible says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Go after peace, chase it, pursue it, seek it, run it down. We are accountable to God for our actions and also our reactions. Take heed lest you fall short. The Bible solemnly exhorts us to take heed and be on the lookout against bitterness of heart, which can cause you to miss the mark. The Bible says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Sometimes it may not be great hurts and wounds that cause offense and expose one to the temptation to grow bitter. Sometimes all it takes is a little issue, a little offense that Satan magnifies in your eyes. Or it may be a little problem not properly dealt with. Consequently, a deadly root of bitterness can spring up and grow, until it sends forth many roots into many hearts and becomes a stronghold. Notice the Bible says, looking carefully, lest a root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. You need to look carefully because deadly bitterness usually begins with just a little root. A little bad root can spoil a whole lot of your good fruits. The Bible says it is the little foxes that spoil the vines. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. And the little dead flies that spoil a whole lot of good. Solomon said, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. The little things we take for granted, the things that we refuse to confront and deal with on the principles of God's word, can turn out to be very problematic. Moreover, when many are offended, instead of properly dealing with the offense by going to the person who offended them and seeking reconciliation, they tend to adopt a victim mentality. They play into the hands of the devil by seeking for others to sympathize and side with their point of view on the matter. Very soon, not only one, but many are carrying roots of bitterness in their hearts, and Satan is rejoicing. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, the King James Version. None of us are beyond the temptation to become offended and bitter. Therefore, we all need to look carefully, lest we fail the grace of God. The word fail comes from the Greek word hysterio, which means to be left behind, and therefore fail to reach the goal. When Jesus comes, that is exactly what will happen to some. If they fail to deal properly with offense, they would be left behind because of bitterness in their hearts. However, there is good news. You don't have to succumb to the devil's trapstick through offense. The Word of God says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. You can uproot bitter roots. Jesus clearly tells us how to deal with every root of bitterness. The disciples of Jesus were typical men like us today. Therefore, when Jesus spoke to them about unconditional forgiveness, some of them, no doubt, would have had unresolved issues to settle in their own lives. For this reason, the reason they responded, Lord, increase our faith. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. But what was the response of Jesus to such a plea? Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Luke chapter 17, verse 6. Like bitterness, the mulberry tree grew almost everywhere in Palestine. Just like bitterness, it was easily planted and it grew very quickly. Its roots went very deep into the ground. and it is said that not even a tornado could pluck it up. Jesus used this tree as an analogy to the roots of bitterness and offense caused by hurts and wounds that seem impossible to overcome. However, when Jesus said a little faith can cause the mulberry tree to be plucked up by the roots and thrown into the sea, the inference was obvious. He was saying to his disciples that a little faith can take care of any problem, even the deep roots of bitterness. Through faith in God, by trusting Him and obediently acting upon the word regarding the principles of love and forgiveness, one can be victorious over every attack of the devil, including offense. Don't allow yourself to be given over to the tormentors, nor be left behind when Christ comes due to unresolved offenses. Deal with them now. Take the word of God as your weapon and be on the offensive against offenses and destroy them. Show no mercy to your carnal nature. Remember, the word of God says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Romans chapter 12, verse 21.